We're going to talk tech and AI with Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective. And Fevzi, for once, we have a good story about AI.
I know, I thought, is this really me? Do I want to cover this? But of course I do. So I'm normally a doom and gloom merchant, with reason, I would argue, when it comes to AI. But on this occasion, this is a really good story. And it makes me happy that, you know, these are some of the benefits that we hope to get. So this is a story of an AI monitoring technology that's been trialled in 6 care homes in Dorset. So these are residential care homes. And what's quite remarkable is that it's reportedly cut falls, ambulance call-outs and hospital transfers very significantly. So I'll give you the figures first and I'll tell you exactly, you know, what it's doing and how. The experience of Dorset was that falls were reduced by an average of 49.2%. So less than half.
That's a lot.
Well, half as many falls. Unwitnessed bedroom falls reduced by 58.2%. Ambulance call-outs reduced by 63.7%. And hospital transfers reduced by almost 80%. So that's remarkable. And what it is that these are sensors that are put in the rooms of the residents in the care home. And they listen. And they watch, but unlike, you know, traditional cameras or microphones, it doesn't rely on a person watching it all the time. What it does is it looks for, it uses AI to know what it's listening to and looking at. So looks for signs of possible distress, coughing or choking, resident calling and asking for help, but, you know, often not being heard, restlessness during sleep, someone getting out of bed. And I was thinking, how does a sensor prevent a fall? The way it does it is that a lot of people, particularly people with cognitive impairment, they get out of bed and they're not meant to because they're not safe. And because in most care homes, they operate on the basis of checking, you know, perhaps once an hour or something like that, the chance of them catching someone who's just got out of bed is less. So if the staff are switched on and alert, they can often get to someone before they have that fall that could change their lives. It's quite remarkable. So it prevents falls. It can detect possible seizures as well. And even look for changes in nighttime behavior or sleep patterns. So you can imagine it's using the AI, and if the team are on the ball, it was very interesting because they tested it in 6 care homes. 5 of them saw great improvements. 1 of them did not. It doesn't say why. It could be that that one was already extremely good. Or it could be that the staff were not well trained or not as responsive. We don't know. But so it's not in its current form a replacement for carers, but it's a really, really important tool. And if you've ever had a relative that has been vulnerable, either in their own home or in a care home, you know, something like this can be manna from heaven. And it honestly gladdens my heart when I see the use of technology that works in this way.
Yeah, absolutely. And falls, of course, for especially older generation, a fall is often really bad news. And you end up in the hospital and it is previous to a lot of people dying as well, because just a nasty thing to happen. I've got a relative who I think did fall over, but was wearing an Apple Watch.
Yes.
And was probably saved by that Apple Watch because, remarkably, they were in pretty much in the middle of nowhere. There was nobody around. And it phoned an ambulance. I don't know how it does it, but it did. It detected
quite
a fall. Yeah.
Well, the watch has a built-in accelerometer, which means it can detect changes in acceleration. So a rapid acceleration followed by a sharp stop might be an indication of a fall, for example. And, of course, it's using AI algorithms. So Apple's benefit is that they have so many of those watches out there. And of course, similar technology in the phones as well. They can use AI to study the patterns of known falls and work backwards and say, okay, well, what are the signs? So even though it can't know that there's a fall, it suspects. And what it does, I think, is it then says, I think I've detected a fall, do you need help? And if you don't respond, it calls for help. And they can also detect crashes as well. And with that, it's not just the rapid deceleration, it also picks up the sound of a crash and it understands what that sounds like. Ironically, I took off my watch, my Apple Watch today to charge it and then promptly tripped over and I cursed. And luckily, I was fine. God's truth. I just cursed because I never fall over. And I literally just took my watch off. Well, if I'd have fallen now, I'd be completely stuffed because I didn't have my Apple Watch on and I was on my own.
Yeah.
So, they are quite remarkable, but I do think that these sensors, they do rely upon the staff being trained and responsive because let's not forget, I've seen some great care in hospitals and elsewhere, but I've also seen vulnerable patients having their buzzer taken away from them or put just out of reach. And similarly, people pressing for help and just aren't the staff levels and therefore they don't get the help. You know, they will come into the room, tell you to turn off the buzzer, but then not attend to the patient. So, it's not a panacea on its own yet, but I wonder if it might be,
because I've certainly heard, maybe it's from you, that possibly the next stage is that some kind of robot or AI will be taking on a lot of those carers' jobs as there's more of a demand and older population and there aren't the people to do the caring.
Well, yes, it has to be, isn't it? With an aging population, you know, it's really the only solution. Some countries in Asia are already using robots to, for example, do the medicine, the trolley round, you know, in a hospital where they do the medicines, and they dispense the medicines and they observe the patient taking it. And also they've learned that where the robot has a display that can display a picture of that person's loved one, the patient is far more likely to be cooperative and to take their medicines, which is kind of interesting as well.
Slightly, yeah. I don't know whether that's good or bad.
It sounds a bit creepy. And don't forget, you know, when COVID first struck, they were using Boston Dynamic robot dogs to do the triaging because we didn't know very much about it and how to be safe. And, you know, it's a bit like you send, the robot dog in to do the bomb disposal. We were doing COVID triaging using robots, and that was 6 years ago.
Gosh, so, well, in a way, that is one of the good things coming out of AI and robots is health.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Honestly, I'm a bit cynical about this stuff, but I just, it does genuinely gladden my heart because if it means that vulnerable people can be safer, that half of the falls can be prevented, that's amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, we've got time to talk about a gadget, you being the gadget detective. What have you picked out for us?
So this is something I bought with my own money just under a year ago, 11 months ago. It's called the Anker Prime Charger, Anker being spelled A-N-K-E-R. It's a desktop charger, USB-C charger. It can charge up to 6 devices at once, so it's got 4 USB-Cs and 2 USB-As. And why am I looking at it again? There are two reasons. One, I noticed today that it just dropped in price to just under £55, and I'd paid about 70 for it when I bought my one. But also, I just thought, you know, we don't always revisit gadgets to say, you know, was it really as good as I thought it was? And this thing has been quite remarkable. First of all, it's got a 2-year warranty, so I've still got another 13 months to run on the warranty, which is good. To give you an idea, it's about 4.5 inches by 3 inches by about 1.5 inch tall. And it's got a row of these USB connectors, 4 USB-Cs, which are the modern oval-shaped ones, and 2 of the legacy USB-A connectors, which are the traditional rectangular-looking ones.
Would it be good then for, like in my case, I've got loads of different chargers all plugged into a big socket adapter thing. Would it work for that, so that you take all those plugs away and all those chargers and just use the one? Is that the idea?
Yes, and exactly. So you've got one mains lead that goes from the socket, the wall socket, into the back of the charger, and then 6 up to six devices to be charged. Now, you know, obviously there are loads of chargers that do this, but this one is special for a couple of reasons. First of all, it has a total output of 200 watts, which is quite generous. You know, 200 watts will easily charge most people's gadgets all at once. But the really clever thing is the way that it handles the demand for charging when more than one thing is plugged in. Because with most chargers, what happens is if you plug two or three items in, not only does it have to divide the available wattage amongst those three, that's understandable, but the total wattage drops sometimes to half. Whereas this one divides it up, I'll illustrate this in a moment, but it divides it up sensibly and it still maintains pretty much 200 watts total, as opposed to dropping down to a total of, say, 100 watts. So if we think about just the modern USB-C chargers, sockets, because they're the ones that are, the highest wattage. If you plug in, it's got four USB-Cs, any single one of those can do 100 watts on its own. So that's even like a gaming laptop. All but the most thirsty laptops that can be USB charged will be charged at their maximum rate by that. But if you plug in a second 100 watt cable into the next one, each of those will do 100 watts. So with just two, you get the full 200 watts, 100 watts each. If you plug in a third one, one of them remains as 100 watts. So again, so you might have that heavy duty laptop. And then the other two share out the 100 watts. One becomes 70, one becomes 30, which is pretty well perfect for, say, an iPad and then an iPhone. So again, you can charge your, that's probably the most common scenario, heavy duty laptop, and then a tablet and then a smartphone, or two heavy duty laptops at once. If you plug in four devices, then it becomes 65 watts, 65 watts, 40 and 25. So again, that's exactly 200 watts. And that, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but that's almost unique. Electronic circuit design is difficult, and it's difficult to get it not to be flexible in what it provides, but still maintain the total output. But this one does that. And that's why I think it's well worth it. And then the other thing I'd say about this is, you know, there are cheaper chargers. £55 is very good for something that charges up to six devices at once, even two or three. I think that's good value. But there are ones that will do it more cheaply. But it beggars belief that we can literally charge in, we can literally plug in, I beg your pardon, thousands of pounds worth of equipment. You know, you might have a laptop that's worth £1,000 or £2,000, a tablet, a smartphone that's a better part of £1,000, and then we try and cheap out, and we sort of buy a 20 watt charger, a £20 charger, I beg your pardon, it's a false economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And having listened to the Legal Hour recently, dodgy charger with an unknown make or something, can be really risky. And there was one caller who had their flat burnt down because it caught fire. So you don't want to muck around with chargers.
You've got no comeback. There's two problems. One is that, you know, the cheap stuff can burst into flames and do that. The other thing is that the quality of the electricity that it's providing in the charging may not be well regulated. It may be a bit spikier or out of the expected range in some way, which can damage the thing that's being charged. I actually bought a much cheaper version of this from another brand. I was just really curious because it was so cheap, it was rude not to buy it. But I must admit, I do use it, but I only use it when I'm in the room. If I'm going to leave the room, and certainly overnight, I unplug it completely. I don't have the same anxiety about this because Anker is a good brand. It doesn't mean that they can't have problems. Any manufacturer can have problems, but Anker is responsible. So if they have a problem, they'll do a callback of the item, and you can see on their website if anything needs to called back in. So whereas these no-name brands, they don't have any reputation to lose, And often you can be using something that's got known problems, but you don't know it's got a problem because it hasn't been, called back. So, all in all, I maintain my score of this. It's 4.5 stars out of 5. It's called the Anker Prime Charger, 200 watts, and it's quite compact for what it does. That's because it uses a technology called GaN, G-A-N, stands for gallium nitride. So it's the modern way of building chargers, which makes them smaller and produce less heat, and I think therefore intrinsically safer as well as power efficient.
Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. Fevzi Turkalp there, the gadget detective.